sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Yeah, Joy?
Hi.
I was having problems connecting. I'll call you on this number. Hang on a second. Hang on. Okay.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Couple minutes late getting on the air. Block Talks changed some things around on the dashboard here. Anyway, that we've got a fascinating show tonight with Sarah Gasparotto and her friend Christiane. But first, Sachem Joy Graves from an ONAC branch in Oregon is going to update you on her legal victories and their continuing legal battles there in Portland. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you doing, Bluewater?
Keeping busy. Keeping busy.
Yeah.
What else can you do when you and but anyway, yeah, tell us what's brewing with the post office there in Portland.
Well, we had some care packages that were going out for the holidays for our church members. And we usually mail out of Eugene, which is a pretty laid-back community. And apparently a package that I had bound for Ohio was guaranteed to be delivered Monday morning, was actually held in Portland Monday morning and x-rayed is what they're telling me. And they're saying that based on their x-ray, they suspect that we might have had some of the sacrament cannabis into the package. And so they are threatening prosecution. And we are, of course, trying to take the stand as ONAC and defending that we have the right to, as a church, to send care packages out to our members. Whether or not there's sacrament in them is really none of their business, because it's church business. And so I have put them, we had a small protest up there at the post office. I put them on notice with the telephonic presence of Sergio, which is the ONAC paralegal for Matthew Pappas. And they're supposed to be preparing a formal letter of notice and an injunction that we're hoping to get filed on the post office as soon as the legal team get it, the draft put together properly, and hopefully we'll get this resolved.
Outstanding, outstanding. Well, yeah, we haven't spoken with you for several months, and if you want to bring us up to date on whatever you've been doing or whatever you want people to know,
We're trying to figure out what all ONAC needs to get organized as far as the future endeavors and projects of the churches. I know we are working on, I have a church member back in Louisiana who's going to be coming out west here, hopefully just before the first of the year. And the church here, we're going to be organizing a physical rehabilitation option that would involve sacraments as part of the healing. So we're trying to get that up off the ground. I'm sure you're aware that January 1st, a lot of really bad laws are going into effect here on the West Coast, especially pertaining to the cannabis sacrament. I know California's getting screwed over pretty good from the sounds of what Governor Brown has signed down there with abetment laws and water laws and minimizing everybody to a 10 by 10 square foot for growing. Here in Oregon, they have legalized recreational use under Measure 91, I'm sure you've heard. They were, you know, of course, the wolves said it's not going to affect medical cannabis rights. Measure 91 has done nothing but damaging the Oregon medical program. And January 1st, I'm expecting the real explosions to hit. We're trying to figure out what all Aquaba should have in place legally before these laws come in and start causing more damage. And I think that, you know, physical rehabilitation center is one of our bigger, you know, projects that I think is going to prove to be really beneficial for ONAC. I know Dr. Courtney is an ONAC down in California. He's, as far as the cannabis world goes, he's probably one of the most knowledgeable physicians regarding cannabis medicine and healing. He is working on also a project to start a wellness center down in California. James has began the establishment of what we're calling the Circle of Cannabis Churches within ONAC. He's got a board formed. Thus far, there's four of us that are named as the board members, and we're also trying to figure out, you know, what all we need to do. We were talking just yesterday about there's just over 1,400 acres of land down in Humboldt County, really nice, has six rivers running through it year-round. We're talking about, because my church here, we've been trying to get off the ground a land repurchasing project where when we get up the ability to go out and purchase land, we would like to purchase land as Aquaba Church and do things such as, you know, rehabilitation centers, community living projects, you know, things like that. Dr. Courtney is also, you know, looking at the same line. And so we're looking at that land as an option. Dr. Courtney's thoughts are is if we get the 1,400 and some odd acres of land to break the parcels down into like 12-acre parcels and have multiple branches of Aquaba churches acquire sections of these lands and build a community type of a land. That's something that my church is already, you know, trying to formulate with the repurchasing project. And so I'm really excited to see that expand with the help of Dr. Courtney and getting the other churches in there and doing these kind of things. And we're trying, you know, we're just trying to figure out how we can protect our rights, you know, collectively as well as individually, and protect ONAC and our position of you know, being an asset to society and being beneficial to the ONAC members worldwide in offering resources and protection, which is why this post office issue, to me, it's a very pressing issue. I found a case just last night, which I was really excited about. The same post office that has seized our package here in Portland had been taken to the appellate court just this very May. And they had done this similar thing. They say they suspected something funny with the package. And so apparently what they do is they remove it from the flow of the mail. And then they do investigations. In the case that went up to the appeals court, they set the package to the side. They brought in the dog, and the dog indicated that there was something in the package. And so then they went ahead and attempted to deliver the package. And then through the knock and talk process, you know, coordinated permission from the receiver to open the package and proceeded. Now, this case, the reason I'm thinking that this is going to be a really powerful stand for us, the appeals court told them in that case, they asked the post office, well, you're familiar with the procedures and how to go about getting a state search warrant. And the post office says, well, yes, we are. And the appellate court said, and you understand that getting that search warrant from the state is grounds to get a federal search warrant. They said, yes, we know that. Did you do that before you removed the package from the flow of the mail? And the post office responded and saying, no, we suspected something with the package. We pulled the package from the flow of the mail. We moved it 30 feet over in the room, and then we went and got the dog. And the appellate court in that case said, if you did not have a warrant before you removed that package from the flow of the mail, you violated the law. Because the post office needs to have a warrant, you know, before they remove the package from the flow. And I'm pretty sure that there was not a warrant obtained before they removed our package from the flow.
That's
so
interesting.
So I'm thinking that's going to be a real smoking gun for us in this issue. But like I've told the attorneys, you know, as ONAC, our mother church, tells us we have the right to utilize post service for our sacrament transfers. And we need to make sure that the post office understands that we have that right so that this doesn't happen, because the only harm that is coming from this is the harm that they're causing on our members, because we're not like the other churches. You know, Aquaba is not just a church. We're a healing church. We're a medicine people. And so regardless of whether or not what they think of our sacraments are medicine. They're earth-based. They're healing. And by them interfering with our packages, they're actually interfering with people's lives and quality of life. And for me as a healer, that's just flat not acceptable. And so you know me, and I'm going to take this to the wall, tooth and nail, until we can get these rights secured. That, you know, in addition to it being a church package, it's also to me like a medicine package. It's to me is no different than the Veterans Administration sending out 3 months supplies of morphine to a veteran that has been deemed that the morphine will help him. If this church sends out packages, you know, whether it's controlled substance sacrament or not, we're sending out packages to help our members and to help heal our members. And I don't take kindly to the government thinking we have the right to just interfere and cause this kind of irreparable harm to our church.
Yeah, so, what kind of gets me is it's kind of funny because if the appellate court told the post office, well, you can't take it out of the flow of the mail before you get a search warrant. Well, there's no way it's not going to be delivered probably before a search warrant even gets, you know, well, I don't know how things are working, work with all that, but it's definitely takes it out of the hands of the post office except to report it.
Right.
And let me ask you something. Now, the Rastafarians apparently have federal rights, for cannabis in place, as long as it's on, you know, federal territory.
Mm-hmm.
How have they historically worked out, you know, shipping sacrament?
Well, as far as I know, in my own experiences with the Rastafarian churches, is that they've done the same thing that we were doing here, and in that they were using the United States Postal Service to transfer the sacrament. As far as I know, they didn't put any special notes or labeling or anything like that on their packages. It was just from person A to person B. James has always really emphasized to Lakawa members that when we send out our packages through the Postal Service, we're supposed to make it clear that it is Lakawa Church that is the mail. And so, like, for example, with this package, this particular package was sent out from my church, which is Lakawa Katanos Makia, and it was sent to one of the ONAC members. Had his name / ONAC, so that ONAC was reflected for the sender and the receiver. And James has always been really confident in assuring all of us that as long as ONAC was reflected from the sender and the receiver, that we would not have any issues with the Postal Service. So that this happening now, we've had several packages going out. We've had several packages coming in to be redistributed out since I've been a part of Lakawa in 2013. And in talking with other of the ONAC churches and their presidents, you know, they've also had, you know, countless packages that have gone out through the Postal Service with the recognition of ONAC on it and have not had a problem. There was only one case that I've heard of so far, and that was with our Hayfork Church, brought to my attention that
right.
About maybe 4 years ago, I think that they had four packages that were confiscated by the mail. And then the head of the LA ONAC went up to Sacramento and presented them the ONAC membership and, you know, quoted some laws. And despite getting, you know, kind of discouraged, they stuck to their guns and said, hey, you do not have the right to mess with church mail. And ultimately, the postmaster inspector down there gave the packages back, and there was no further incident. And they've had packages since, and they haven't had any issue in California. I don't know why there's a problem suddenly here.
Yeah.
But hopefully we can just get it taken care of.
Maybe the post office has got some fancy new gear for looking at packages. Oh, well. Well, that's interesting. Well, we appreciate the update, and you might, if you want to, give people the URL for the program, and I think our other guests have called in. Let me check and see. Hi, who's this at area code 513?
This is Corey Ramsey. I'm a ONAC member.
Uh-huh. Do you have a question or comment?
I was just calling in the regards of the parcel that was seized in Oregon. I would just say publicly that I was the recipient and that I was under the impression that the church sacrament dispensaries were protected by law, just like any other, say, for instance, the Catholic Church, their sacrament dispensaries. And I have a mother with that is in remission, but they will not know until, of course, in 5 years, but she has cancer, and I happen to live in a state where medical is not available, and Joy was kind enough to reach out to me and my family, and I was on the Facebook page and saw the church's mission, so as a member, I contributed like I would any other religious organization. It was my form of tithing. And then I was contacted that the seed or the package was, I tracked it for 5 days, and it had a 2-day delivery on it. And on the fifth day, it was said that the parcel was seized. And I contacted the postal inspector, Melvin, and he had said to me, what is in the package? How much cannabis does the package contain? And I said, you keep using the word cannabis. It is a sacrament. I do not have to discuss with you the contents of that parcel. And I told him I wanted to file a complaint for disruption of a 2-day parcel with insurance, but I'm not necessarily, that's on the other end. And I was told by Inspector Melvin that he would contact me, and I haven't heard from him in approximately 2 weeks.
Yeah, and that's kind of one of my points that I was trying to emphasize to the ONAC attorneys is, They several times contacted Mr. Ramsey there and were trying to get him to tell them what was in the package and how much of what was in the package. He was the recipient. And because they seized the mail, they seized the package, he has no inclination of what was in the package, much less of how much of what was in the package. And Either they had to get a warrant to go into that package, or they have to get consent from the controller of the package, which would be the sender, which would be me. And they have done that several times. We've had public encounters with them, with Post Inspector Melvin, and I've had telephonic encounters with him. He keeps pushing that, you know, well, we know there was cannabis in the package. We just need to know how much cannabis was in the package. And I just keep reinforcing to him that, you know what, that was church mail, and it was to a church member, not to you. It's none of your business what was in our package or how much of what was in our package. He says, well, he said to me, this was really funny. He says to me, well, you know, if there was peyote in the package, then it would be a totally different situation. But you can't send marijuana through the mail. And I said, well, you know, you're mistaken. First of all, we have the right as Aquabenevolent Church to utilize all earth-based healing sacraments. And we are allowed the right to send our mail through the Postal Service and not have it interfered with. I don't know if this is an attack directly on our church by the post office or if this was just random dumb luck that they've picked our package to seize. But like I said, with that appeals case that I found, State versus Barnhouse up here in May, I'm pretty confident that they haven't asked me for permission to open the package. And one of the things that stood out to me when I talked to him initially was, you know, I said, well, regardless of what you think was in that package, there was a lot of different things in that package for our church member. And Inspector Melvin quickly says to me, yeah, I know there was a $100 money order in that package. Now, I don't know what the post, you know, they're claiming that they suspected something, and so they pulled it from the flow. I'm guessing without the warrant. But then they proceeded to what they're saying, x-ray the package. I've never seen a postal x-ray. I don't know what a postal x-ray would or would not show. But I found it very interesting as well as disturbing, the fact that they knew there was a money order in there and that they knew exactly for how much that money order was made out for. It really makes me think that they've illegally opened that package. They won't comment and they won't answer that question as to the disposition of the package. They just say that they have it. It's still at that post office, and that they're keeping it for evidence. They did have a federal officer of some sort come out when I confronted them during our protest up there. And he did everything he could to hide his badge from me so that I could not see what agency he was a part of. And he never spoke a single word during the whole encounter. So I don't know, you know, what is going on, but I know that our church is being violated, and I know that for every day they keep this package, you know, it's causing harm that they're not able to financially fix, which is why I'm pushing now, you know, for the injunction, and I'm hoping to get that injunction filed as soon as possible, because we have members that are in need of sacraments and medicines, and that's, you know, I mean, they're really crippling us here by taking this action. And I'm hoping that we can get this dealt with so that nobody else has to suffer like him and his family are because of what they've done.
Well, we appreciate the update. Everybody needs to keep an eye on this, and let's get the... get the word out to people in the church so they can listen in but we'll let you guys go. We've got Sarah on the line and ready to talk to us for the next hour. And thanks a lot, Joy. Appreciate you.
Very, very thank you. We appreciate your help, Blue Water, and everything you do for ONAC, because you're a treasure.
Well, I've always known it. No. Anyway, all right, well, thanks a lot. We're going to go ahead and talk to Sarah. Thanks a lot. We'll see you guys another time.
God bless.
Okay. Hey, you well, hon. Go on your day. Bye.
Well, Sarah, you are on the air. And how
Hi.
Are you this evening?
How Hi, are you thank this you evening? For yeah, we are on the phone. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you pretty well. And I guess you're in Mexico, right?
Exactly. We are in Playa del Carmen.
Oh, well, what's now since we spoke with you last, what have you been up to since we spoke with you last? Yeah, she just asked me. Sorry about that. Sarah's
no
message.
Problem.
Want to know? I can hear you, kinda.
Okay. You want me to try?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You're coming through fine now. Yeah. If this proves to be too distracting, we'll get together. You know, when you get back in the States. But well, what have you been up to?
Okay, well, basically, we would like to know a little bit first if you have a topic that you're interested can ask to talk about.
Yeah, whatever you'd like to talk about. I just knew that that you wanted to have another chat, you know, after our last program, and I didn't have anything particular to talk about. Did you want to give folks an update?
Okay, so this will be the first time that we are talking directly with you on the radio.
No, we got together. I thought we had gotten together previously. Okay, go ahead. It's just really hard because there's a lot of noise on your end. And when are you going to be back in the United States next?
No, not really. In the next month, but I can try calling you from my other phone.
Yeah, would you do that? Let me give you the area code and the phone number. It's 347.
I have the number. I can call you back.
Do you? Okay. Yeah. Call me from there and let's see if we can.
3318. Pardon.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Calling you back. Bye.
Okay. Well, Mark, what you been up to this week?
Oh well, not a whole lot. Just kind of watching things.
We'll see. We'll see if we can work things out. Okay, she just sent me a message. She's going to try and call in. Okay. This is it. It seems like sometimes we have people call in from. Well, last time we had somebody try to call in from Mexico, it was kind of a. This is. Yeah, she said. Apparently, you didn't. Apparently, you. Oh, this is awkward. I'm sorry. She said Mark didn't inform you about what we were going to talk about. And anyway.
Me or Mac?
That must have been Mac. Well. Well, okay, so we're carrying a little conversation here. I was under the impression that we had spoken with her before. I get them mixed up.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I don't remember, but
yeah,
I haven't kept track of everybody that well either.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's see. She says she's confused. I'm confused. Well, maybe what we ought to do is let's shut this down. We'll talk with folks after the first of the year. Voice quality is going to be a problem. So let's see what's going on. Okay. All right, well, folks, we're going to hang on a second. Let's see. Okay, she says she's calling.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Hey, Sarah. Yeah,
hi.
We know who you are. We've got your bio up here. Didn't we speak with you within the last month or 6 weeks about Mayan? I thought we had given you a Mayan birth reading. You never talked to Prophecy Keepers Radio before?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's fine, but I think that we misunderstood because they the purpose of the call.
Yeah. Well, let's see how the voice quality goes, and if you drift again, we'll we had somebody else try to call in from Mexico one time, and the voice quality was just awful. But
can you hear me now?
Well, right now I can hear you. I lost you and had a lot of weird noises and everything, and Skype's awful sometimes. That's just the way it is.
I know.
Well, go ahead. I just can't remember. There's so much going on in my life. I can't remember where we left off.
I think that they have invited us to talk about something, and probably we just
Kudingen.
Well, yeah, whatever you like to talk about, go ahead. Tell us.
I know that you are the one that knows about Mayan calendar, right? I'm an aficionado, that means I really like it. And
okay.
I know a few, and I actually try to follow it as well during the day. I'm not an expert, but I know a few people here in the Riviera Maya that are experts. And so with them sometimes as well, we offer some kind of activity. Basically, we work with tourism here in the area. It's a really touristic area. And so we received, you know, group events, and basically we work on all the native traditions and culture of Mexico.
Okay.
You are the expert in Mayan calendar then?
Well, we know a little bit about it. Why don't... I'm totally confused here. I'm sorry, folks. I don't. We're apparently not on the same wavelength for some reason. Well, look, why don't we just act like we've never spoken before? Mark, why don't you do a birth reading for her, and we'll get things moving here. Sarah, what's your complete birth date? And let's talk about your Mayan birth reading.
Okay. My complete birthday is March 29, 1983.
March 29, 1983. Okay, Mark will look you up. Sorry about the crossed wires here. I don't
no
book
problem.
My.
No problem. We're always talking about something really interesting for me.
Yeah, I don't book my shows anymore, and memory's not what it used to be. Yeah, Mark, go ahead and whenever you.
What I show is in a traditional Mayan day count, your birth was on a day 12 of Hau, which is the 13th day of the Muloc cycle. So the Hau is the glyph of the sun. The 12 is in the later stages of the cycle, and it traditionally has to do with a strong energy that's a spiritual catalyzing energy. So it's that combined with the sun brings in the spiritual catalyzing energy power of the sun, but it's in the Muloc or the Taj cycle, which has to do with a lot with payment, tribute, a lot of people associate with past life, also fire, the element fire. So that may indicate in your case an interestedness on your part, possibly extending back into a previous life and connection with sun ceremonies and the Hau glyph itself. We'll see. I'm going to do another one here. And this one's actually going to be something that you are not aware of. And it's going to be in what I call the Sixth Sun Zolk'in. So it's a Zolk'in more in the Sixth Sun rather than the Fifth. And it's going to have three components to it. A forward flow of time, a backward flow of time, and then where those two time flows come together in a zero point or a kind of a balancing. So we'll look at the forward flow first. That's the way we normally look at time. And yours is a 13 Sibir, 13 Condor here. So it's Condor energy, and this is going from birth forward. So it's a little bit more as covering things about probably in your life, maybe since childhood, you've probably been a little bit of a person seeking reason and justice and looking into things, knowing things, probably not too much fear, a little bit of warrior and energy in there.
Yeah, that's me.
Partnering with some Venus energy. And so you may have picked up, maybe not, it may be you, but it may be kind of a partnering energy too, of working in art and creating and things like that, and especially in things that have to do with change, transmutation of things or changing of things, and especially probably since you're born, you may have had also a sense of community and cooperation within a community. So with the condor energy of the prophecy of the eagle and condor, with the condor being the southern hemisphere, more the native tribal culture and heart energy, that's probably been something that's been pretty present with you all along and carried you forth till now. On the other time flow, going backwards, that our senses are not designed to see, although psychics and other people can sometimes pick up on it. Yours is a new energy here. It's a green energy, so heart chakra energy, and these energies here may have been showing up in your life, say, since 1997, 98, a little bit before then, maybe after then. So you may have been seeing this getting stronger, and it's about soul, joy, action, getting into things and doing things. a lot of thing where you'll have a partnering energy here, which helps guide of purpose, will, discipline, and stuff like that to help get that action going. It has a component here of helping forgiveness to be moving around and flowing. So you may find yourself as kind of our arbiter and negotiator or something like that to help one group of people dealing with forgiveness of something, you know, some other groups of people may have done. Has a lot to do here with tying in with sacred energy, sacred life, and some serpent or snake energy showing up here. So you may have been seeing something like that showing up in your life too, and also bringing things into formation, forming things, dimensionality of things as well. So that's going to connect back in the thing about the aspect of soul here. So it may be some of the things you're dealing with here combined with that other warrior Venus energy and changing community and stuff. This new stuff is really targeting you into the idea of helping people to deal with problems and forgive things for, you know, stuff happening in the past, and, you know, bringing people together by doing that. So that would probably be a real powerful thing for you to do. Or these two come together, these backward and forward time flows, they create a unity or a zero point. And for yours, you'll probably know what this glyph is. It's the Akbal glyph. And so this is kind of the bridge energy that moves you from one world cycle to the next, and helps you also bring and help other people as well make transition. And so this one's showing that you probably do pretty well, you know, following your dreams, your intuitions. Probably, you know, if you're down in Mexico, go hang out in a cave down there.
We love you. We do it very often to go on caves. What's good? Thank you for the reading.
Pick up on one other thing though too. Watch out when you're doing all this stuff with things with eagle energy showing up.
No.
something with eagle is gonna be significant for you. It'll tie in to that hawkball energy. But it's also going to, more than likely, both of those two together are going to probably be teaching you something about spiraling radial light and how that operates in creation.
Okay. Fascinating.
Okay.
Well, and hey, sir, I want to apologize. In my mind, I had you confused with someone else that I thought was returning, and we've never met.
It was
my fault.
Because I was talking with Roland Webb. I'm not sure if you know him.
Yeah, I know Roland.
Okay, great. So he came down here in Riviera Maya, and he did an activity with us, a temazcal, that is a native ceremony. And so he recommend me to the radio, and he said that it was interesting for us to talk. So he's listening. I say hi to Roland, and thank you for the introduction. But we actually never met in person, Will, so I will be glad to do it. But we never did.
we've been around for about 10 years, and I guess for the last 3 years or so we've been doing shows at least once a week, but we've done about 300 programs, and it's the idea here is to get people who are traditionally minded on to explain who they are, how they got on their medicine path, and what kind of medicine they work with, but yeah, I apologize for not.
That's interesting, and I thank you for the reading, because I mean, I used to read my calendar in a way, but the reading that you did is really accurate, and in many things, and actually what you say, I'm trying to do it, I'm trying to do my best. You said is pretty accurate.
Yes, stay in touch with Mark, because Mark, you share your software there with people, don't you?
To some extent, not on a wide scale basis.
Oh, I got you.
Part of the problem is some of it is doesn't always work with everything.
Oh, right, yeah. And it is computer.
It works under Firefox pretty well, you normally.
Okay. Now can you help us with the reading of Christian as well? Is it here?
Huh?
Sure. Wants to do a reading for Christian, her friend Christian.
Oh, okay. All right.
And what's his birthday?
I will. I'm Christian.
Oh, I didn't know you were there. I'm still confused. There's a little bit of a language.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of a language. Well, it's just there's a noise barrier here, and I'm getting about 4 out of 5 words that you guys are saying. So
okay.
It might be a microphone. Try not to talk too talk low, and don't talk real loud, and I think it'll be able to understand you better.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
Okay, listen. I was really impressed by your reading right now, because it makes a lot of sense, the order that you mentioned, all the facts and the information. If I can give you my birthday, can you help me?
Sure, absolutely.
I'm really curious about it. Okay, I'm from 16th of June, 1976.
June
16th? 16,
1976?
Yep.
Okay, hold on just a second. I'll have it in just a second.
I'm excited.
1976. Okay, so. All right. So June 16th, 1976. So in a traditional Mayan day count, you were born on a day called 5-Ball, which will tie into what we just told about her on her 1-Ball.
Okay.
So. There's your caves.
Okay.
You already know kind of what the Akbal, it's dreams, intuition, birthing of new things and opportunities and awakening. A lot of it's in the intuition and dream time stuff. So, and being in a cave down there tends to help that. The 5 on the Akbal, the 5 is sometimes has to do with the fifth position of the elements or the elevation of creation, the ether. It's a partnering energy to the top of a pyramid. So it kind of helps with that. So, and if you look, many of the Mayan temples and pyramids are actually built over caves.
Yep.
So you would probably have an ability here to kind of connect the top of the pyramid down to the bottom of the cave you're sitting in. So if you're ever in a cave and you happen to have a pyramid or a temple above you, you might want to focus your awareness up above and see what kind of connection that makes for you. Might be a fun thing to do. So now I'm going to switch over to Six Sun Vulcan and look at that. It's going, yours, so on the forward flow of time, we'll do that first. Yours has heart energy here. It's the beginning of the cycle, so it also has the Eek energy, which connects in the Blue Otter Stay Sign 9 Eek. So a lot of things here about, since you're born, about, loyalty, heart, good virtues, values, intentions, and stuff like that, spirit stuff, prayer, you know, things like that have probably been with you for a while.
Yeah.
You've probably been pretty good at that all along. This thing about what I told her about the spiraling radio light,
mm-hmm.
that's showing up here on your forward flow of time. So that's something that you already have some kind of connection at. So I was telling her to look out for it. Well, here it is right here in your birth reading. So there may be very well something both of y'all sitting down in a cave might experience some spiraling light. On the backward flow, you have thing that appears like it may be connecting into the star system of the Pleiades. Also, this entire reading, unfortunately, he's dead right now, but one of the Hopi elders, Grandfather Martin, your reading is directly connecting into that. So if you haven't already, you might want to go read a little bit and learn some things about the Hopi and some of their things. And they actually had connections down into the Mexico, too. Some of their migrations came up through there from South America.
Mm-hmm. Done.
And in their ceremonies, specifically their ceremonies where they do the emergent stories in the November and December ceremonies, they actually use and they have songs that relate to the Pleiades that time key parts of that ceremony and will relate to the nine universes or the nine world cycles.
Okay.
So that would... But a real strong thing here for you right now seems to be Pleiades, things with... remember I said hers about art and Venus and stuff like that? That's showing up in yours here, too, so that would be a common... another area of common ground between you. This is sitting in a cycle that has to do with peace. So peace and oneness and having everything coming together is probably becoming a lot more important thing to you in recent years. This is going to connect into hers, where I was talking about her aspect of the forgiveness thing. That's going to tie into your thing about this peace and oneness. So you guys can kind of connect together and work on that in that realm, I think. It's kind of like planting a seed in the ground here. But the seed is carrying the consciousness. And so, and part of that consciousness for you appears to be connecting back into the star system of the Pleiades, which many of the native cultures have stories and connections all over the whole planet. There's stuff with the Mayans, the Hopi, even the Cherokee. So some of them I've talked to had connections back to Pleiades. So that would be probably something to look for if you're not already aware of it. Where those two things come together and create the zero point thing, yours has a inner thing here that's about kind of prophetic things, liberation of things. Remember in hers I mentioned the serpent energy? That's showing up here a very big way. So we're seeing that's the life force energy, and that's going to tie back to that spiraling rays of light. And hers, when I was talking about forming and dimensionality and such, that's in here too. So we have a lot here between connecting point between both y'all that has to do with some how our reality is formed. And if you haven't already looked at it, you might want to look at some things about what quantum physics says about that, and what specifically the book The Holographic Universe by Malcolm Talbot. If you haven't ever read that,
not yet.
Probably both of you would like to read it. The book The Field by Lynn McTaggart, that would also be a pretty good book to read.
Okay.
And you also might want to look into a gentleman named Walter Russell, who published stuff from 1926 to about 1950-something. Secret of Light is one, and he had a home study course and different things. His is pretty interesting. You have to kind of... His talked about the still magnetic light universe and a dual light universe, which is our reality. And you can translate that concept into the Russian concept of torsion fields or a hologram, laser. Hologram is coherent light, formed by a laser, coherent light. So both of you would probably benefit quite a bit by looking at those books and learning about how our reality may be literally formed by coherent light coming out of creator's consciousness. And you can tie that back into the Zulkan, because the Zulkan has something to do with that.
Okay. Is it too much to ask you if you can repeat me the names for those books?
The first book was The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot. T-A-L-B-O-T. And the other book was The Field by Lynn McTaggart. I think it's M-C-T-A-G-G-A-R-T.
Maybe you can write them to me afterwards, and it will be easier so we don't have anything to write down.
That would...
You can write it down for us afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the other person I mentioned, Walter Russell, he had one book called The Secret of Light. That was so
of light.
Kind of The
of
Secret
light.
Of Light. Yeah, it's kind of a simple book in a way, but it also takes a little bit sometimes for some people to get used to. But he's a very interesting person. And so those are some of the things that kind of go over aspect of light and how light and fit into holographic theory and creating our reality. And then if you take that and you look at it and you start looking at the like Hunabku, and you look at some of the native traditions, and you start thinking about and looking for those things, and you'll find them.
Okay.
They're usually fairly obvious. So now... Oh, one other thing for your friend there, I forgot, just came back to me. Another thing you might want to look at is, for her, she might want to look at the whole thing about the white buffalo calf woman in Lakota tradition. There was not direct yet, but a pretty close connection with her birth. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Yeah.
Fantastic. What state in Mexico are you Are you folks in?
Sorry?
What part of Mexico are you in?
Okay, now I'm here in the Cancun area, Riviera Maya, this Caribbean side.
It's way down the country.
Way down. But I've been traveling for some parts of Mexico. It's so beautiful.
You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's an excellent place to base yourself out of, you know, for tourism. And
it is.
I know there's a lot of people go to Mexico looking for a connection to spirit, and it's a fantastic place. It's just so sad and understandable why there's so much violence down there, because there's a tremendous amount of good people that live in Mexico, and they're good people, they're honest people for the most part, like anywhere else. But I think, in my experience, it's been that people that are poor, lower down on the economic scale, usually pretty closer to creator. They have to be. if you want to tell folks about, and I've got some information up on this website, and I will edit out the faux pas when Sarah and I originally got together. I'll edit all that stuff out, and this would be a permanent on the internet permanently, so you can send people to it. But yeah, if you wanted to, you know, share some more experiences, we've got another 20 minutes or so if you'd want to, if you care to, you know, whatever comes to mind, you know, whatever spirit tells you to tell.
Okay, I will share some few comments. And first of all, I would like to thank you for this wonderful opportunity of meeting, because as I was listening to you while you were sharing your reading, you sounded pretty much like my dad used to do his lectures and readings. I do come from a regular family, and I grew up surrounded by old drums and feathers. When I noticed, I was dancing and I was doing sweat lectures. And with the time, I had the chance to travel. The first time I went to the States, I was barely 15, something like that. So I had the chance to grow up in a different way as another teenagers. And for some reasons, I was like complaining all the time. I wanted to be a normal guy and have a nice girlfriend and play with my friends and do to parties and things like that. But sooner or later, I had to move to Europe, and this is when I began to really be aware about my tradition and what I do represent every time I have the chance to have an audience. Or the audience are really important to have. Now that I still doing my work, I do my dances, I do my sweat lectures and all that, and I always want and give a message, because I notice that there is a lot of ways in which the traditions can be confused for some or by someone. And this is something that really it's hitting us here in Mexico, because many people are just walking in this new path or in the red road and doing ceremonies and things like that. And as far as I experience, it's much more simpler than that. the way they want to elaborate or looking for just some recognition and personal things, you know. And especially we based in the Caribbean, so taking advantage that there's a lot of people coming to our country and saying that Mexico, it is one destination in which they can find culture, colors, traditions, fun, and a lot of things. And especially we are really concerned into what is the real traditions from Mexico, not only giving, but being attacked somehow, because a lot of people that is coming to our country still believe that tequila and mariachis is Mexico, that is our culture, or tacos and things that people know all over the world. But some people really are interested in the topics that as you were sharing just right now about the Mayan calendar, about astronomy, about mathematics and architecture, and some other science that are involved in our daily way of life, even nowadays. And all we want to do and all we're doing here is try to awake much more the conscience in the people so they can have a free way to pick or to choose the spirituality and put it into practice without being judging or, you know, in a simple way so they can have it by hand, and every time they need it, they need to recharge their batteries or to heal themselves so they can do it, and they can find an easy way to do it. It is kind of hard sometimes because the problem we are having here in the Riviera Maya is that there is a lot of tourism that is coming, and the hotels are selling these packages of entertainment with Mayan characters or Mayan performances. And there is nothing to do with Mayan culture at all. So we're really sad about that, because the first impression that people is having when they arrive to our country and see the dances or the traditional regalias or headdresses and all that, it is so deformed right now. And this is something hard to fight back, because hotels and all this kind of audience, they only want to see that. Thanks to Mr. Gibson and Apocalypto movie, and thanks to some other big entertainment companies that are really concerning to make us clowns for the people to entertain. And not many people talks about the real Mayan culture, the real language, or the real traditions they still do have, because they do have the ceremonies for the jungle four times a year, and they do these pilgrimages, and they have a sweat lodges, and they still have their traditions. It is sad, because we just want the people to know Mexico in a different way. We are giving our best. We're trying to put together a package in which the people can experience not only one side, but they can, you know, they can go to sweat lodge, they can see the dances, they can listen to Mayan language in the proper environment, like going to the jungle or to the cenotes or even to different places, because this part of Mexico, it's beautiful. It's so much to see. It, 1 week or 2 weeks is never enough to get to know this place. And what we do is that to involve people into being and participate in their own holidays in a different way. And so they can have, after the whole trip, they when they go back and they fly back to their countries, getting home, they can remember something and have that message with them. And especially because situations right now in our society, I'm talking about the whole world, are kind of difficult. So if we keep entertaining people, they will never awake. We have to give what we have. We have to share what we are. And this is a continuous exchange we're having every time we meet people. There's a lot of Russians coming. There's a lot of Europeans coming, Americans, Canadians. There are a lot of beautiful people that is coming. But and all we want is that, so they can have a piece of that. So I'm going to pass the mic to Sara so she can explain you a little bit more.
Sure, go ahead.
How we work, okay?
Sure, go ahead. Thank you. Something very enlightening, very enlightening.
You have some more time?
Oh, yeah. We've got about 15 more minutes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I'll go ahead with my story a little bit and how I met Christian some few years ago. I moved to Mexico in 2003, and I've always worked in tourism, studied languages, and I got here to Riviera Maya and I fall in love with Mexico, and I just decided that I didn't want to go back to Europe. And so I've started to work in hotels in different positions, getting to coordinate, organize wedding and events in high-class hotels here in the area. And it was a crazy job, but I was working a lot, too many hours. And I've started my spiritual path like 10 years ago. And when I started to, ask myself some more questions about life. And so I've started different paths, studied Reiki, yoga, Theta Healing. I was looking for answers. And actually I got to the native knowledge here in Mexico, so I've started to attend ceremonies and temazcals. And I remember that my first temazcal, it was like a party for me. I was so happy to be there. So it was something that was so different from the other kind maybe of spiritual activities that I was used to in Europe or as well in some holistic center maybe here. So I really like that part of the native and the drums and the singing and all that part. And so I got quite ill a few years ago while I was working in a hotel, stress and many emotions. So I got a cancer diagnosis, and that was not easy to deal with, but I just reacted really quickly. That means that I knew already, I had already all the theory, about how the mind works and we create our reality and emotion and so on. So I've decided to try to understand a little bit more myself because I didn't want to get operated or go through doctors I went through doctors for quite a while of my life. I've always been really sensitive. So actually they didn't know when I was a child what I had, and I was just, feeling energies. And so I didn't want to do anything with the doctors, and I've started to study more, many disciplines, and actually all the native knowledge is part of my the way I've just healed myself with acupuncture, other disciplines, and actually in 6 months I was fine. So after that, it was a mixture of things. Of course, I've just changed my job and changed my lifestyle as well, and take care of my thoughts. And so actually, I completely changed my life. So I'm starting this project, and I'm still doing weddings and events, but on a more, of course, a spiritual way. Here we are doing Mayan weddings, and as well I do normal events because it's still something that I'm really knowledgeable at. I always put a spiritual touch. I always try that the clients they get in touch with us. You know, they live with something something changed them a little bit. And so now we had the first years were a little bit difficult because in the market, in the touristic market, I think that like probably 1% of the people that are coming here to the Riviera Maya are interested in these things that we are offering because the rest of the people are coming here to a party, well, or to go to the beach. There are a few people as well interested in the archaeological site. But I mean that people that are really, really interested and not that go there just to take a picture and tell their family that they went there. I mean, the people that are really looking for something are not so many. But in the last few years, more and more people are finding us. And they find us directly online sometimes or with the referrals. And it's really nice for me when we can deliver an activity can be a couple or a family, and they tell us that this was a change for them in their lives, that they, if we can give a message, we can make them maybe think a little bit about what they are doing in their lives and to make them better if possible. And so I'm really happy and glad that we had the opportunity to share with you what we are doing here.
Oh, feeling is mutual. Feeling is mutual. And you'll want to, you know, keep in touch with us. The whole idea behind this program was the brainchild of a Tuscarora Six Nations Iroquois faith keeper by the name of Mad Bear Anderson. And he wanted the spotlight cast on prophecy, and he wanted Indians from all over the Americas and indigenous people all over the world to get together and share and compare prophecies. And he felt that probably more than scripture, he felt that prophecy. Well, I know I've talked with rabbis, feel the same way. I mean, when they find out about a scripture, they'll do everything or about a prophecy, they'll do everything they can to help fulfill it. And so it's a proactive stance to try to make some positive changes in the world. But and I know it's hard. We have similar things that go on in this country too, but it's getting better. People here in the United States, mostly because Indians have been pitching a fit about it, you know, and other things are happening. You know, people are becoming more aware of Native spirituality, and slowly and surely. And but we appreciate you guys coming on the program, and we got to keep in touch.
Of course, we will.
We do.
All right. Well, I appreciate you. And Mark, you got any parting comments?
Not a whole lot. You know,
I think that
along with the thing you said about the native stuff, I think what happens a lot is that people have their own ideas, preconceived ideas of, you know, what things are and how they're doing things, and I think one of the things that people usually miss on the native spirituality is that at its heart, it's actually extremely simple, but it's very powerful, and it all boils down to really one thing. Everything's connected through Creator.
That's right.
That's it in a nutshell. I mean, and they understood it, and they learned through, you know, what the Aborigines called dream time or nature, the observation and learning from nature, essentially learning, you know, how does Creator do things with nature? and, you know, they pay attention. And they are many times, it can be so advanced, it looks so simple that you miss it. It's kind of like there was a Star Trek movie I thought that had a real good scene. And it was the one, I think it was second, third, fourth movie, A New Country or something like that. But anyway, there was a planet, and there was people that were just there, kind of like natives, and not very many of them. This planet had some kind of rings around it or thing that made it, you know, where it could live forever or something like that, you know, or great health. And the Federation, the Klingons, and everybody was there wanting to get it and take over it, right? And anyway, it was with Picard, not Kirk. And Picard's down on the planet, and this lady, who's kind of the head person and sort of scientist, and she's out there in the field with him. And she says, well, do you want to see something? I forget what she said, but she took what was kind of like a dandelion, you know, with the puffball flowers, you know, like parachutes
right.
on them. She blew it, and all of a sudden, everything just slowed down.
Uh-huh.
In other words, what she was showing to Picard was she had the ability to control the flow of time.
Yeah.
And that scene in that movie actually reminds me a lot about Native spirituality and their connection with the Creator and things that can be done. I think that scene really exemplified that, brought it home. So, in many of the books that I mentioned to you guys, if you think about them and you look at them, you can place it from the quantum physics perspective, not with not too much difficulty, back into the Native American perspective of different cultures, and you'll see it. And it's not too hard. And when you do that, I think people will be amazed, you know, when they're sitting there looking at all these things, you know, you don't know what's going on. You know, something as simple as a dance. Like Blue Water had a friend that, Robert Three Eagles, that was talking about how, you know, if you get up on a hill and you dance and you dance in a circular direction and you dance clockwise or counterclockwise enough, that this has real physical effects. And when you tie that in to the consciousness of the dancers and the whole community, and they're thinking together for that ceremony, what they are doing is they're creating a coherency or a unity. And when they do that, it becomes very powerful. And that is what you were talking about a minute ago, how you can help people to change and change this world. And that's how to do it. Us realizing how everything is connected through Creator, and how to unify and create a coherency or a unity of our consciousness. If we do that, we could really change things. And at the point we're on the planet right now, we need to do it. I mean, our civilization, whether it survives or not, is probably completely dependent upon that at this point in time. So any of us that are, you know, thinking about that and doing that, working it, you just, think about it, contemplate it, and you'll click in with all the other people doing it. But, and that's what I think where this Native culture and spirituality, that's where it's important, because it brings us that power of unity and connecting to Creator. And that's what we desperately need. So I think that's why everybody's attracted to it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, let's go ahead and run, and we'll hope everybody. Oh, I forgot last week. At the very beginning of our program, we play a little bit of audio from Thunderheart, and it's John Trudell and playing Jimmy Looks Twice. John passed away before, you know, sometime before the show last weekend, and I forgot to mention that. And but he sure did some interesting things. He we've got some of his recordings, and the first time I played John Tudell Pro's DVD, my wife, who was not brought up native, really, you know, she's brought up a Christian, more or less, and she really resonated with it. And he was a good man. He knew how to speak well, and we hope that that his adventure in the spirit world is a good one, and he's enjoying his time in the happy hunting ground. But anyway, appreciate, and we'll let everybody go. Thanks a lot for another great show, Mark.
All right. Take care. Good night, everybody.
We'll wish everybody a happy new year. Good night, everybody.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. Thank